Hey there, everyone. It's your girl, Swell, coming at you with a questionnaire. I found this nerdy one, nerdy in a good way, by Pretty Bookworm. And this is Pretty Bookworm's Keeping It Literate questionnaire. Number one, which book got you into reading? I don't think it was any one in particular. I was a really, really, really big reader in elementary school, which is also how I ruined my vision by staying up late with a flashlight underneath the covers trying to finish books. So I always liked books. I think one of the biggest series that I was a fan of when I was younger was Aragon. Oh god, I loved dragons so much. And then I went through the Harry Potter series, Series of Unfortunate Events. There's one series that wasn't quite as well known, but I thought was fantastic, was Abarat, A-B-A-R-A-T. Just this crazy well-written story about this girl, Candy Quackenbush, who gets transported away to the land of Abarat. I just thought that I enjoy fantasy quite a bit, and that book took it so far. I absolutely adored their interpretation, like, originality. The Abarat itself is a collection of islands, and each island is perpetually set in a certain time of day. And so there's like 24 islands, and each one has its own characteristic. I loved it. It was amazing. Number two. My current favorite book hasn't changed in quite a while. I go back to it often, just to reread passages. I don't think I've really read it from cover to cover in a while. I just go back and review my favorite parts. And that book is Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. Life-changing. It just resonates with me so much. It resonated with me when I read it in high school 10-something years ago, and it still resonates with me now. Just this, the story of the protagonist, Janie, her life story as she matures into womanhood, as she deals with different challenges in her life, meets men who treat her, like different types of men who treat her different ways, different people who treat her different ways, and whose opinions matter, whose opinions don't, just everything that life throws at her. There is something that I can get from that book every single time I go back to it, and it's amazing. Number three, my favorite authors. I like authors. I like sad, privileged white men authors from the 1920s who just write about how heartbroken they are. Looking at you, Hemingway. Looking at you, Fitzgerald. I also like Murakami, too. Oh, man, he's just lonely. He's not quite into that romance piece. I like authors that are sad. I don't know what's wrong with me. Number four, favorite genre. I am really just trying to read more of the classics, honestly. I haven't read any Austen yet, which I'm really ashamed about. I haven't read any, like, Wuthering Heights. I haven't read any of the Bronte sisters. I've only read Room of One's Own by our good girl, Virginia. And I'm also only listing out white authors at the moment. I would really love to get into more modern and contemporary fiction written by people of color as well. Yes. Okay, next question. I don't know, I really like to go into fantasy and stuff more as well. I like to read things that make me feel sad and reflect on my status as a human being and as a person. Number five, have you ever read erotic books? If you count 50 Shades of Grey or the Twilight series, yes. Number six, how long does it usually take for you to finish a book? Depends on how much free time I have. I can probably finish a book in a couple of days if you just let me have 2 whole days. Regardless of the length, I usually don't like to finish an entire book in one sitting. Because tends to wear out my brain for a little bit. So 2 days if it's really good. And a lot longer or never if it's bad. Number 7. A book that after you read a few chapters, you thought, wow, this book sucks. Well, that's mean. But there definitely have been books like that. And because I thought they sucked, I put them down and forgot what they were called. So I can't really tell you, like, oh, don't read that one, because I forgot about it already. Number 8. Have you ever read a book with an ending that wasn't satisfying or just really bad? Oh, yes. Yes. Memoirs of a Geisha. God, that ending made me so angry. Literally, I don't know. Here's my take on it. Sorry, I need to collect my thoughts. I want to. It was just when I think about geisha, I think about how hard their lives are, and all, especially our main character, right? Like, she had to go through so much shit. I read this a while back, though, so I don't, my memory's a little bit foggy. She went through so much shit to get to the top. You know, she falls in love with this dude who, I think he isn't even present for most of the book. And then there's this other guy who she's not really that into him, right? But he's just so sweet, so kind, and super caring. He, like, takes care of her when she needs it, and it's not like the Edo period is a walk in the park, right? Or it's not the Edo period, but it's not like wartime. It's not a walk in the park, her lifestyle. It's not like it's easy. And so she's stubborn about not... So the guy who treats her well throughout the course of the entire book, like, she's just not really that into him. And I think that's fine, because I can understand that. Just because guys are nice to me doesn't mean that I'm gonna like them back. So she should have just stayed single at the end of the book, and that would have been Memoir of a Geisha, and it would have been good. But instead, we have the guy who, literally, there was no character development on his part. She just kind of, like, had a crush on him. She romanticized it out of like bounds, super exaggerated, romanticized this guy, and we're not even sure if he's gonna come back at the end, but he does. He comes back at the end so randomly. It's like the last 20 pages of the book, and then they, like, live together happily ever after. And I was so pissed, because that's like, you're I feel like it really subverts a lot of what she had to go through. I know some people can argue, like, oh, they gave her the happy ending and she deserved it, but that just made it so much less believable. Like, it's Memoirs of a Geisha. You're not... Memoirs are supposed to reflect real life, and in so few instances does real life actually end up like that. I was just really angry. I went off on a huge tangent. I apologize. But I was pretty frustrated with that ending, I'm not gonna lie. Number 9. Have you ever had an OMG moment in book? Like, something happened in your books that you never thought would have happened, or something you never saw coming? To be honest, the first time I read Hemingway, I didn't know that his characters just died at the end. So I got really attached to Catherine in the first book I read by him, A Farewell to Arms. This nurse who, like, you know, took care of our main protagonist, and they fell in love and stuff. And there's just something about the simplicity and the way he wrote. It was my first time, you know, experiencing Hemingway, and I didn't know what was going to happen at the end. I didn't know if she was going to die. I didn't know if they were both going to die. I didn't know if it was just going to be an ambiguous ending. Oh, God, and then he killed her. And I was distraught, like, with a capital D. I was so sad. I sobbed. Oh, man. I was so invested in those characters, and he just killed her off with a baby in her stomach. I was like, why, Hemingway? And I proceeded to read more of his books. Number 10. Has a book ever influenced you in a big way? I think this goes back to, what was it, number two, my current favorite book. Their Eyes Were Watching God, I think just continues to be my guiding light. It's not a hard read at all either. There's just certain phrases in there that I think really attest to womanhood and display so beautifully the trials and tribulations that women go through in order to become who they are and to become strong and confident and grow into themselves. And I think that that's just and I mean, part of it also is Hurston's way of writing. I think one of my favorite quotes by her was actually said at my graduation ceremony from undergrad. Our commencement speaker quoted her, and she said something along the lines of, I have known sorrow, you know, I have stood in sorrow's kitchen and licked clean all the pots, and I have stood on, like, triumphant on a lofty peak with a rainbow and a sword in my hands, or something like that. It was so glorious, and there's something about that phrase of, like, standing in sorrow's kitchen and licking clean the pots that stuck with me so deeply. Just the juxtaposition between those images, I feel like it really is a testament to how good Hurston is as a writer, and how tragic it is that when she died, they weren't even really able to give her a tombstone with her name on it. She didn't have an epitaph, and it was only after, it was posthumously that her books became well known, that she was recognized, and it was only then that they actually figured out where exactly she was buried so that they could mark it. Yeah, that was my blurb on Hurston, and those are the 10 questions to the questionnaire. I would love to hear what you guys thought. If you guys read any of those books and would like to discuss them further with me, just shoot me a message. I would love to talk bookworm with you guys. Have a good night. Mwah.